Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Amen. Thank you so much, Judy and Arla and Susan, for leading us in song this morning. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to be with you here this Sunday. It's very strange. It's been a while. Some of you have drawn that to my attention since I've been here on a Sunday morning when you sort of alternate back and forth with Brighton and Whitmore Lake. If you miss a week, then you miss like a month, basically. So it's so great to see you on this beautiful almost spring day as the flurries continue to come down. As we gather here for worship, I just want to begin by simply saying we're in the midst of a sermon series about the Lord's Prayer here during the season of Lent. We're studying the words that Jesus taught us to pray, and we're kind of taking them line by line, and so we're looking at that as we go through this season of Lent, this season of preparation as we head towards Easter Sunday. And as we gather for worship, as you walked in the door, hopefully you were handed a connection card. We encourage you to take a moment and fill that out. Let us know that you are here. We would love to have record of your attendance. On the flip side of that, there are all kinds of ministries going on here at the church, and we would love to have you involved in those. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill those out, you can put them in the offering plates as they go by later in the service, and it helps us get more connected with you. In addition to that, in the pew in front of you, there should be a yellow prayer card. And if there's anything that we can be praying for you or your family, your friends, or neighbors about, we encourage you to take that and fill that out as well so that we can be praying for you as we move through our week. As we gather for worship this day, I pray that the Spirit of the living God fills your hearts as you gather for worship this day, and that something that we say or do or sing together might make a difference in how you live your week from Monday to Saturday, that it would transform your life and make your life a little bit better, change your heart, and make you more and more like Jesus Christ. And with that, I encourage you to please stand as we worship God together this day. Amen.
Christ, to you, Christ, to you. Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of heaven and earth, in this moment, we yield our lives to your will. Use us to close the gap between heaven and earth and bring the peace of your kingdom to our lives on earth. May your will be done. May your kingdom come. Amen. Please be seated. There are three readings today. The first one is from Matthew 6, 9, and 10. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next reading is from Luke 22, 39 to 46. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." The last reading is from Revelations 21, 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to be obedient to your will. Amen. Amen. Well, I had a fun week. I went down to Florida, so I feel like sort of in this climate adjustment, right? Perhaps as you walked into the sanctuary, you also feel a bit of an adjustment, being that it's an hour earlier. You're like, my goodness, it feels like it's 8:30 in the morning. I don't know if I'm quite ready for this experience of worship, but I was down in Florida at a church conference where there were thousands of leaders of churches from all across the country that gathered at a church in Orlando, Florida, and so I hopped on a plane after worship, actually after serving at the Severe Weather Network that we were hosting as a church this last week, and I ran down to Detroit Metro. Michelle was there on Sunday night. We went down to Detroit Metro and got on a plane and went to this conference to see this gathering of folks talking about how to reach new people, and it was a beautiful experience, lots of wonderful learnings, wonderful ideas about what the church is going to look like in the 21st century after we make our way through this pandemic. It was a wonderful time, and so I thank you for the opportunity to go down and learn from some of the most effective preachers and teachers and leaders of our generation. And as I got back late last night, I was just realizing that I was going to lose an hour of sleep, and there was this moment of sheer terror, and it made me wonder, why do we do this to ourselves? Because folks with kids, we hate daylight savings time, amen? Like, there's no reason for this. And so, Church and Society Committee, if you don't mind, like, let's work on this together. And as we gather for worship this day, we're focusing on the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. It's a prayer that many of us can recite by heart. We don't need to really look too deeply into the words in order to have them brought back into our minds. Some of us have stories about where we first learned the Lord's Prayer from. We think about perhaps, you know, pillars of the faith in our lives, grandparents or parents that taught us this prayer in terms of how to pray from the time that we were very young. We've learned it, we've memorized it, some of us, and we've just internalized some of these words. And so last week, Pastor Lindsay focused on Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this week, we're focusing on thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it seems like sort of an easy statement to make, right? That we don't necessarily, as people of faith, want our will to be done here on this earth. I mean, a lot of us are filled with desires and hopes and dreams and aspirations about what the world might look like. But this part of the prayer is this moment of surrendering, right? That it's not necessarily our dreams, hopes, and expectations. I mean, if we're really honest, if all of our hopes, dreams, and expectations were to come true, I don't know that the world would be that great of a place. A couple weeks ago in the news, there was a story of a ship that was passing across the Atlantic Ocean filled with Porsches and Bentley vehicles. Did anybody hear about this? And the ship went down. There were thousands of like $100,000 to $200,000 vehicles that just went straight to the bottom of the ocean. And I found myself like, God, thy will be done. But if that ship made it to port, right, I would be happy to take one of those vehicles. Some of us imagine driving nice cars or having nice homes, or perhaps some of us imagine having a life that's filled without any suffering or any harm to us. Maybe we imagine feeling safe. We have this image of what the kingdom of God would look like if it was here amongst us, here and now. You don't have to imagine very hard what the antithesis of that would look like. Up to a couple weeks ago, most of us have an image of a peaceful world, a dream that someday no longer would we fire weapons or shoot weapons of mass destruction at one another. But the images in Ukraine are all too real to all of us as we've watched on TV, as missile after missile and artillery shell and guns being fired back and forth gives us an image of cities completely laid waste, destroyed, refugees fleeing country by the millions. And sometimes I find myself imagining if God was watching 24-hour cable news these days, if God was sitting inside a living room with the television on to whatever your favorite news outlet is, sitting in the chair watching the events of today unfold, I can't imagine that God would be sitting in that chair going, good job, everyone. Take the next week off. I mean, unfortunately, if you're like me, when you sit down in front of the TV and you hear stories about tanks and weapons rolling into Ukraine, and you see stories about, you know, people taking advantage of one another and the stock market crashing and all of these sort of terrifying headline news stories, we got to imagine, at least I do, that God isn't necessarily thrilled about everything that's going on in our world today. Think about people and children all around the world who are struggling with hunger, who don't have enough to eat, or folks who think that they're drinking clean and safe drinking water, and when they ingest that, their stomach is filled with a variety of waterborne illnesses. I mean, we've got some work to do. And you know, I have to say something that I hope isn't too convicting for most of us. It's convicting for me, so maybe it'll be convicting to you, and we can share in the conviction together. But I have to admit, about 2 years ago, when the entire world shut down here in the state of Michigan and everyone was told, like, let's just stay at home for 2 weeks and then everything will be okay. And here we are 2 years later, still sort of making our way through this pandemic. But there was a part of me when that news came, when the disease came and people were afraid everywhere. And Lindsay and I, we did all kinds of things in the early days, like going to the grocery store and buying 2 weeks worth of groceries. But there was a part of it that disrupted our lives so much that I have to admit there have been parts of me for the last 2 years that in the pandemic, in the pandemonium, in the confusion and disruption, I have to admit there are moments that I've kind of thought, like, let me just sort of wait to see what happens, right? And there have been some ways that maybe in those moments I have missed out on opportunities that perhaps I could have been living out this prayer, not, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and what is my part in doing that? There are some ways in which I've sort of just been waiting, right, for the all clear signal to come, at this good news, this great annunciation, like COVID's over, the pandemic's ended, and like we just have dancing in the streets, right? And then we could get back to the work of transforming people's lives in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not to say that nothing's been going on. And we have an awesome and exciting children and youth ministry program that we've started. It was really exciting last year to support the Vena Dental Clinic. And this year we're helping folks get access to mental health services through the Samaritan Counseling Center. We built a home through Habitat for Humanity. Over 50 students are downstairs every day, Monday through Friday in our preschool. There's been ministry happening, but there's a moment in my life just recently when I was thinking about the fact that I usually am driving with the accelerator pretty much down to the floor when it comes to church ministry. Like, I like to see things happen, missions, small groups, opportunities for people to grow in the faith. And I admit the pandemic, there are ways in which it's sort of like, let's just wait and see what happens. But you know, I was thinking about this story. When I was a kid, I used to go to the ocean with my parents on camping trips, and we had this tiny little raft. Does anybody know it? Like just a floating raft. And my dad, when I would get in the raft, and the thing about the raft is you go out into the ocean and the waves would sort of crash over the edge of the raft, and we'd just be floating along peacefully out in the middle of the ocean. And suddenly you'd like look up and look at the shoreline. And you look at the shoreline and realize you have floated like a long way, you know? You're like, wow. I'm pretty sure that building over there is where we came out onto the beach, and it's like, it seems like miles and miles down the ocean coastline. And I'm here to tell you that there's a part of the pandemic to me that it sort of feels like we've just been drifting a little bit, you know, just in the waves. Some waves are good and some waves are bad, and they kind of come over the boat. But there are some days that I feel like we're just sort of drifting. And I wonder if maybe this is a time that here we are 2 years into this thing, that it might be time for us to, like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, say, God, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the crazy thing about being in a boat when you're out in the ocean sort of drifting and waves are coming in is sometimes to sort of drift, right? All you have to do is nothing. That's the crazy thing about drifting in a boat. The current underneath the boat can carry you miles down the seashore by just simply saying like, I'm good. I'm just drifting in the water. It's all good. We'll just wait. But the thing about the story of Jesus that we read out of the Gospel of Luke today, right, is Jesus is praying, which this is the most powerful part of my trip to Israel. You go to the Garden of Gethsemane, which overlooks Jerusalem, and you literally can sit underneath, some scholars say, like the exact same kind of olive trees that Jesus might have been praying over in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus looks up to God and says, not my will, but thy will be done. He says, if this is not your will, take this cup from me. I am willing to do anything you ask of me. If it was up to me, frankly, I probably wouldn't go to the cross, but not my will, thy will be done. Jesus offers that statement in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I just find myself asking, what is the will of God in our world today? Man, I would love to see peace. I would love to stop seeing women and children separated from their husbands at the border of Ukraine and Poland. I would love to see an end of childhood hunger. I would love to see completely preventable diseases come to an end, nobody dying from diseases like malaria or Ebola. I would I would love to see all those things. And when I think about what this image looks like that Tom read for us from the book of Revelation, this image of God's city coming to live on earth, of what it would look like for earth to mimic, to look exactly like heaven, I imagine this beautiful city where there's justice and peace, where there's no longer anybody who's hungry, there's no longer anybody who's sick, there's no longer anybody who's struggling, there's no more tension and injustice and violence in the streets. And man, I want to work on that. And when I ask God, like, what's the first step? What do we have to do to get from here to there? How do we live a little bit more faithfully? I got to believe that God might be calling us to take the oars out inside our rafts and our lifeboats and to start rowing in the same direction, to sort of get our boat moving back towards the place that we came from, to get back towards the mission of God in the world, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the calling of what it means to be faithful to the gospel today. That's the calling of what it means to be obedient to God's call on our life. So I just want to encourage you to get out an oar and start rowing during this season of Lent. Don't allow yourself to, it's been two crazy years since the country shut down. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do things that are unsafe to you or anybody else, or you don't have to put yourself in harm's way, but I want to encourage you during this season of Lent to get back to that call of God on your life, to start rowing in the direction of Jesus Christ, to start building that kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe this year is the year that you decide to go on a mission trip for the very first time. Maybe this is the year that you decide to join a small group ministry here at the church. Maybe this year is the year that you decide to take out a pen and paper and write a strongly worded letter about something that you would love to see change in our world today. Maybe this is the year that you decide to do something extraordinarily kind for teachers or community workers in our city. Maybe this is the year that you decide to start making the world look a little bit more like heaven and a little bit less like us. Maybe this is the year that you see a storyline flashing across the bottom of the 24-hour news story and you say, this is troubling, not only to myself, but I know that this is troubling God's heart. I'm so tired of seeing children starving all around the world. And I want to do something about that. Because that's who we are as United Methodists. People who want to see a little bit more of heaven right here on earth. And so when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, when Jesus was teaching them about what prayer was all about, he said that if at all possible, when you pray, say these words, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, your name is holy. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you have an image of what heaven would look like if it was here on earth? Are there things that you think would be different? Because I think that's where God calls us. I think that's when we know that we're called to do something in the world, when we're sitting there and we're seeing something unfold before us and we just know it's not right and we're not going to allow it to continue to be like it's always been. We're not going to sit back in our armchair and say, "Oh, that's too bad." I think part of praying this prayer is that it moves us into some kind of action. I've got to say, at this conference that I was at for the last week with leaders all across the country, I was listening to some of them, and most of them were not United Methodists. There were five United Methodist clergy from Michigan, but most of the thousands of people were Baptists and Pentecostals and non-denominational. It was all a cornucopia of the body of Christ, you know? And one of the people up on stage were up there preaching, and they started talking about this thing that I categorically disagree with. They started saying, like, you know, at some point, God's going to come back and judge everybody, which, like, I'm not from the future, so I don't know exactly what that would look like, but someday God's going to bring about this justice, and you don't really have to worry about it, because when God comes, everything will be set right. I'm here to tell you, we do not believe that as United Methodists. It is not ultimately squarely on God's shoulders to fix everything. Instead, I believe with all of my heart that God calls us each by name to be a part of building God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We are not idle passers-by just going, oh, Ukraine, what a crisis. I hope somebody figures that out. God, would you want to intervene somehow in this situation? There's nothing wrong with prayer. But we in the United Methodist Church, we believe that in some small way, God sort of looks us all squarely in the eyes and says, what are you going to do to bring my kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven? And that's why I love being United Methodist, because we're not just simply, you know, spectators in the ongoing activity of God. We are co-participants in bringing about God's kingdom here. And you all, I know, at some point in your life, know what this feels like. When it feels like that membrane between earth and heaven is so thin that you're almost like, I can taste that this is what heaven would be like if I was there. And I think our job is to be ambassadors to that kingdom. So as we move through this Lenten season, I hope you can find some way that you can bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. I hope you can find some way to participate in the ongoing activity of God. I hope that you can feel the very presence of that exact moment in the prayer when you say, God, not my will, not for the Bentleys and the Mercedes-Benz and the Porsches at the bottom of the middle of the Atlantic, or not my power, or not my prestige, or not my notoriety or ability to influence or transform other people, not my pride, not my arrogance, not my self-respect or self-aggrandizement, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in a little while, we'll be praying that prayer. And I invite you, as you say those words, to internalize what exactly would it mean to be a participant in the ongoing mission of God in the world today, to be a kingdom builder here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I want to invite you into a time of prayer with me. And for some of you, this might feel slightly uncomfortable. Maybe you're not accustomed to doing this, but as we pray, I just want to encourage you to, some of us, we like pray like this, you know, and that's okay. It's good to practice all kinds of prayer. In this particular prayer, as I pray alongside us, I just want to encourage you to sort of open up your hands and maybe put them out to the side like this. If you're totally uncomfortable with this, you never have to do it again. But just today, if you want to humor me, this is a posture that sort of says, God, like, here I am. You know, it's this image that even if just for our own bodies, we're saying, God, here I am for you. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we know that the kingdom has not yet fully arrived. It doesn't take much work for us to know we have not gotten there yet. And we know that in your world today, there are so many callings on our lives. There are so many ways to respond. There are so many ways to make a difference. And we pray that if it is in your plan for us to be a part of that good work, that you would call us by name, that you would use us, even if it means something simple, even if it means something small, even if it's a kind gesture to somebody in our world today, we pray that you would use us, even if just for a moment, to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Bells. This morning we have three prayer quilts that we need to pray over for Chloe Elizabeth Howard, a friend of Kate Martin, Mary Dietrich, mother of Marilyn Bray, and Tammy Cardenas. Pray with me. Heavenly Parent, we bless these quilts and ask you to receive these prayers and petitions on behalf of Chloe, Mary, and Tammy. May they be comforted, healed, and strengthened through your mercy and with our prayers. We thank you for your ever-present love in their lives. Amen. As John mentioned, this week marks 2 years since our first live stream worship. I tried to write something that would attempt to describe the devastation as well as positive effects of COVID-19, but I stopped. I couldn't do it. I think it's too soon for me. I don't know about you, but to have that much perspective on a disease that has fractured and divided us, and it could have brought us together. So we need to keep praying. And cases are going down, that is good. And technology continues to connect us, and that is good. Let's join together in an attitude of prayer. Lord of all of us, thank you for the glory of this day and the glimpses of spring we receive through sunshine, singing birds, and a greater fluctuation of the thermometer. We are reminded today that resting in you, God, is a sign of hope, that you are the great comforter and great redeemer. Help us to rest in you so that we have the strength and energy to focus on your will and do what you require of us. We thank you, God, for technology that allows us to share this service beyond these walls, to work from home, or talk with distant friends and family. Let us not take for granted this ability and recognize that it is not a universal resource. Healing God, our hearts are full of anxious thoughts as we struggle to understand and respond to a world where the people of Ukraine are being attacked, their lives shattered or lost. We lift it up to you, Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our leaders in the church that they are fortified with your resilience. We pray for our community, our state and country, that decisions are made that bring your kingdom closer on earth as it is in heaven. We lift up those who have suffered or lost loved ones during the pandemic. We lift up and bless those who have felt the stress of overburdened hospitals, lost wages, grief. We ask blessings for children, youth, young people, their teachers, as they try to learn and grow and develop during these difficult times. We lift up everyone who faces other health and mental stresses. We give this all to you, Lord, for it is too much for us to carry alone. As we take a moment in silent prayer and meditation, may we remember to breathe in your holy rest today, to breathe in your divine will. Let us join our voices together to pray that prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
For leading us in prayer. At this time, I'd like to invite forward Hilary Bott, who's going to be sharing the Lord's Prayer in German. And we wanted to hear this prayer in many languages. The beauty of this prayer is that it's prayed all around the world, and you can go anywhere in the world to hear this prayer prayed. And so we wanted, as a community, to hear this prayer in a variety of languages. So thank you, Hilary, for leading it in German.
Let us pray. Vater unser im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe, wie im Himmel so auf Erden. Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute und vergib unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern. Und führe uns nicht Versuchung, sondern erlöse uns von dem Bösen. Denn dein ist das Reich und die Kraft und die Herrlichkeit in Ewigkeit. Amen.
Amen. Well, there's so many different ways to respond to God's word in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And as the ushers move through to collect the offering this morning, I wanted to share with you that the church just recently sent a gift over to our partners, our brothers and sisters in the Czech Republic at the Provitin United Methodist Church. The church there, as I understand it, is about 40 members, and this group of 40 United Methodists, faithful United Methodists in the Czech Republic, have taken it upon themselves to help 15 refugees from Ukraine at a United Methodist camp in the Czech Republic. And I just wanted to let you know that some people have been asking along the way if there's a way that our church in particular, I mean, there are many different ways that you can respond to this crisis, but our church in particular is supporting the Provitin United Methodist Church in the Czech Republic because we've had a 15-year relationship with them. And like I said, they're supporting about 15 refugees that left Ukraine and are going to be housed at a United Methodist camp in the Czech Republic for, it could be 9 months, and it could be, you know, long term. It could be 15 years. It's hard to say. But if you'd like to make a contribution to that specific effort, we invite you to just let us know in your offering envelope that you'd like to make a contribution to that relief effort in particular, and we will ensure that it gets over to the Provitin UMC in the Czech Republic. Would the ushers please come forward and assist us as we receive this morning's offering. Amen.
Lord of all, grant us peace as we yearn to do your will. We humbly bring our offerings to you. Help us to discern how to use them to make your kingdom a reality in our lives, in our community, and in our world. Amen.
Amen. Well, I just have a couple of announcements I want to share with you as you head out the door today. This afternoon at 5:15, there will be a Taze service right here in the sanctuary. We're very appreciative. Deacon Loretta is leading that service and has prepared the service. We hope that you'll join us right here in the sanctuary at 5:15. Taze is a beautiful form of worship, as Pastor Lindsay mentioned last week. The good news about it is it's very participatory, and there isn't a sermon. There's no message. It's an opportunity for a private practice of spiritual disciplines, and so we invite you to come at 5:15 for that. In addition to that, the Lenten prayer stations in the chapel will be at the, you know, here at the Brighton campus are taking place and available from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sundays, and from 5 to 8 p.m. and Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. In addition, we'll have the prayer labyrinth set up during and Saturday at 9 a.m. to noon, Sunday from 9 a.m. to noon, and Monday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So we encourage you to check that out as well. If you're interested in doing some of those spiritual practices during the Lenten season, we encourage you to do that as part of that effort to continue to grow in your relationship with God in Jesus Christ. As you depart into the world, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that you would find ways to dive deeply into your faith so that you could bring God's will here on earth as it is in heaven. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.